Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
All right, we're going to do this real quick. It seems to be that it's wrapping up. There is a brief hearing going on right now for Tyler Robinson. He is the suspect in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He is making his first court appearance. Sam, can we tune in to CNN for just a moment, please?
He just said that he has the right to have his charges read to him.
Mr. Robinson, recount one, aggravated murder, a capital felony in violation of Utah Code annotated 76-5-202, in that on September 10th, 2025, in Utah County, the defendant, Tyler James Robinson, intentionally or knowingly caused the death of Charlie Kirk under the following circumstances. The defendant knowingly created a great risk of death to another individual other than Charlie Kirk and the defendant. Notice conviction of this offense may carry the death penalty or pursuant to Utah Code 76-3-207.7, a mandatory term of imprisonment for life without parole or an indeterminate term of not less than 25 years, and that may be for life. Victim targeting enhancement in violation of Utah Code annotated 76-3-203.14 sub 2. Tyler James Robinson intentionally selected Charlie Kirk because of Tyler James Robinson's belief or perception regarding Charlie Kirk's political expression. Notice, if the trier of fact finds beyond a reasonable doubt that the victim targeting enhancement applies, the sentencing judge or the Board of Pardons and Parole shall consider the defendant's selection of the victim as an aggravating factor. Violent offense committed in the presence of a child, aggravating factor, the sentencing judge or the Board of Pardons and Parole shall consider as an aggravating factor in their deliberations that the defendant committed a violent criminal offense in the presence of a child. Count two, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony in violation of Utah Code annotated 76-11-210.
So the judge, obviously as a defendant, he has the right to have the charges read to him. That's what's happening right now in Provo, Utah, in Utah County Court. Tyler Robinson is appearing virtually for this hearing. So is his attorney, it looks like, from his law office. Tyler Ferguson is not in the law office. He is appearing virtually from the jail. He is wearing a green, almost an army green, bulletproof vest. It doesn't appear that he even has a shirt on underneath it. And he is rather stoic, staring straight into the camera with absolutely no movement whatsoever other than the blinking of his eyes. He has not moved a muscle since this hearing started 10 minutes ago. He is just standing there. We're sitting. We can't tell. He's only shown from the torso up. But he is wearing a bulletproof vest, even though he is in jail. Strangely.
Listen to this case out of New York City, Scott. A nursing home resident has died after a 95-year-old fellow nursing home resident and patient killed her with a piece from a wheelchair.
Oh.
And the question becomes, in a case like this, are there charges for a 95-year-old woman who may not even realize what it is she's done?
Why did you overemphasize the word woman?
Because when I first read the headline, I assumed it was a man. And shame on me for that. I assumed it was a male. I don't know how we've heard about this certainly in dementia wards and things like that. People can be aggressive, right?
Sure. Oh, sure. They can be, yeah.
Do you charge someone who's 95 years old and probably has dementia?
Do you
Police said today they don't even know what to do with this.
Well, someone killed someone else. Correct. Is that in and of itself not the definition of at least manslaughter, but maybe murder?
She was in her bed when she was struck.
So she was targeted.
These are probably roommates. You know how expensive a private room is these days?
No, I hope I don't ever have to find out.
I hope you don't either. Looking to make it a topic, but I just looked at that and I thought, well, who was the man who did this? It was a woman. This says to me they were roommates.
So what do? You don't charge them just because of their age? I mean, and I'm not comparing the two, but there have been plenty of war criminals from wars past who have been hunted down and charged. And again, I'm not comparing the two, but just because they're old doesn't mean they didn't commit the crime.
The older senior was taken to the hospital immediately after for both a physical and psychiatric evaluation. You would have to prove that she knows right from wrong. And maybe at 95 years old, she does.
Maybe she doesn't.
Maybe
was this a memory care ward?
It is believed the 95-year-old is somewhere on the dementia spectrum. Yes.
I don't think she's going to wind up in Gen Pop.
How you couldn't put a 95-year-old?
Can we stop saying Gen Pop on this show?
I agree.
I thought it was the hip new term.
I don't even think a jail is equipped to handle the needs of a 95-year-old, are they?
I would almost err on the side of not charging her.
Why?
Our courts have better things to deal with. I know that sounds horrifyingly horrible,
ooh,
but...
Well, you say that, but man. What if it was your grandmother that she stabbed?
I completely agree with you, and if it were my grandmother, I think that I would have a different tone. However, she's... I don't know.
You think
if she lives for another 10 years, is she supposed to do it behind bars?
No, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
It'll be house arrest of some type.
Well, no, wait a minute.
In whose house? Dan, she lives in a nursing home, so...
Somebody put her there.
Do you isolate her? No, I'm being serious. You know how in prison we have isation? Like if you're a danger to yourself or others, there's isolation.
Yeah.
Are there isolation wings in nursing homes? And I am being absolutely serious when I ask
that. So let me ask this question. If she's too old to be charged because she's 95 and her care might be...
Impossible.
Difficult for the prison staff, do we start letting people out when they hit a certain age or when their physical abilities start to decline? Can you imagine if they let Charles Manson out of prison?
Yeah, when he was 88 or whatever.
When he was declining in health?
I'm sorry.
Whoever was first, I don't care.
There also has to be intent of some kind. Like, she didn't just become a cold-blooded killer.
I don't think Eunice did just become a cold-blooded killer, Sam.
Which is kind of my point. It's not like she woke up in the middle of the night and was like, you know what I'm going to do?
There was a death. She murdered a woman. This is murder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you want to happen to her?
I'm just posing the question. I don't
send her up the river.
Well, I know. You could charge her and, you know.
By the time the trial got done, she'd be dead anyway.
That's my point.
And can she even, what is it called? You have to be able to participate in your own defense.
Why would we clog up the court system when she was a threat to this one woman, but we don't even know if it was intentional.
But Sam, you can't send her back to the same nursing home. Can you imagine if that's the nursing home where you're surviving whatever, grandpa, grandma, you know, there's other people who live in this facility, right?
Eunice is back.
You want to share a room with that woman?
You make a great point.
Like, we're not sure what set her off, but something did.
And now we're rewarding her by giving her own room for the cost of a dual room?
When Eunice gets back, somebody's going to shank her. I don't care who it is.
Oh, God.
She was just upset that somebody was taking her applesauce.
This is a tough moral question.
You think these issues aren't going to get worse as the boomers are all aging and we are all aging and they cannot build these facilities fast enough and the cost of these facilities, we are going to start seeing cases like this, mark my words.
Which state did this happen in?
New York.
Because they might have special wings in certain prisons where...
For who? The psychopath?
The elderly aggravated battery wing?
Yeah. So she might end up just getting a little room for a couple of months at some... Man. I mean, what is she going to do? Run away on work detail?
I don't know, Dan. I don't know what you do with someone that age that has done something so horrifying.
You're going to roll away?
She did use part of her wheelchair, Dan, to kill this woman. She's not running away from anything.
Why'd you bring this up? This is horrible.
Well, I just...
There's no appropriate way to have this conversation.
One of the reasons I brought it up, honestly, is because I assumed it was a man. And then I saw it was her roommate.
And why is it always a man?
In Dana's world, it's always a man. Even when they're 95.
When they're 95?
Well, at that age, there aren't too many men left.
That's actually statistically true, Dan.
Because we want out.
Oh, my God.
Freedom!
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here from NBC News out of Los Angeles, where a judge has rejected a last-ditch legal challenge to Eric and Lyle Menendez's murder convictions, ruling that the brothers have failed to show enough evidence that their murder convictions were unjust and they deserve a new trial. William Ryan, that's the judge, his decision to deny the writ of habeas corpus was detailed in a 17-page summary of a hearing that explains why he has decided that two items of alleged new evidence upon which the brothers relied do not meet the legal threshold for granting a petition. So they are back in prison, and I think they get another parole hearing in, 3 years or something like that? 5 years? I can't remember. Losing track. Sad news out of Liberty, but the family is encouraged by his strength. This is from Fox 4. A Liberty family is facing the unimaginable after a tragic accident on the football field let their 14-year-old son partially paralyzed.
Oh, I saw this.
Julius Byers, who is a freshman at Liberty High School, was seriously injured, may God bless him, during his first ever high school football game, and he is now sharing his story. Says, Julius, keep praying because it's working. Those are his words. Those were some of the first words that Julius told Fox 4 from his hospital room at Children's Mercy, a powerful message from a young man who less than 2 weeks ago suffered a life-altering injury while playing the game that he loves. His moment came during an away game against Lee Summit High School. He came in during the second quarter. For a few brief moments, it was everything he'd ever hoped for. Made a couple of plays, said his dad. We're all excited. And then one play he made, that one play changed everything. Says Julius, I remember getting off the block, I get hit, and then I kind of like blacked out a little bit, then I woke up. He was placed on a stretcher, rushed to the hospital, 3 fractures in his neck, a concussion, an incomplete spinal cord injury that has left both of his arms paralyzed.
Couple of inches and that can happen, correct? Or just one slight physical deviation. I'm not saying he did anything wrong.
A hit in the wrong direction, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, God bless him and his family. The family says that he is going to make a comeback, and they are encouraged.
We hope that he does.
I agree. Two young boys accused of causing at least $50,000 in damage at a Florida elementary school library are facing several charges, including criminal mischief, after their mothers turned them in. Deputies with the Volusia Sheriff's Office were called to the Friendship Elementary School in Deltona after a fire alarm went off. Body camera footage released by the Sheriff's Department shows that the library was completely wrecked.
Well,
broken pieces of furniture, books scattered across the library floor, a glass door had been shattered. Sheriff's Department released photos of the suspected vandals. Asked for the public's help. The mothers turned them in. The boys are 12 and 13.
12 and 13.
Mm-hmm. The boys allegedly confessed damage, at least $50,000. Whew. If you haven't seen the pictures, look it up.
How do you do $50,000 damage to a library?
They tore, when I show you the picture, stand by. Let me
see. I got it right here.
I mean, they went to town. They went to town on that library.
Wow. Okay.
Idiots. I mean, they tore it up. Tables knocked over, chairs broken.
Well, walls, it looks like they took like a box cutter or something to the walls.
I'm sure there were computers in there, and I bet those computers don't work anymore.
My God, that's some anger. And in the background, you guys, this is so sad. This is not funny, but there's just crap. It looks like it's been ransacked in a movie. Mm-hmm. And then there's just one little poster that's still on one of the ends of the library shelves, you know, like in elementary school, what those look like. Mm-hmm. And it just says, reading matters.
Read this.
Right.
Yeah, read this.
Friendship Elementary.
Yeah.
Okay, not to backtrack, but I pulled the court records for one Kelly Jo Bauer.
Okay.
7 counts.
Yeah, and it goes back to 2007. I looked that up as well.
No. 7 times just this summer at Floor & Decor, according to Johnson County Court records.
7 counts.
One store.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. What does one steal from Floor & Decor? And we know it's over $1,000 because this is a felony. I only ask because we went to Floor & Decor a couple of weeks ago. Here's what I can tell you. Everything in there is expensive and heavy. You don't just run out.
They don't have some decorative stuff. Decor is part of their name.
You don't put like a slab of marble under your shirt and walk out.
Before she was arrested, she went back-to-back days.
Hmm. Well,
the place is enormous. You guys think like a Home Depot. I had never been there until a few weeks ago. Okay. Think like a Home Depot size, but all it is tile and marble.
Yeah, I mean,
grab a box of tile and run out.
Sam, I tried to move a box of tile. This is what I'm saying about this. It is so hard, and I'm not like a weak person. It is so hard to pick up just one box of tile.
But
it's awkward. It's heavy.
What does it tell you that she keeps allegedly going to the same store over and over again? That tells me I want to
be
get
caught.
Oh. Pardon me, it was 8. Okay. 8 times.
I mean, they do have some small things. They've got cutlery boards and
that ain't getting you to $1,000.
No, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with
now,
you, Dana.
To be clear, each of the 8 counts says at least 50, less than 1500. The reason it's a felony is not the value. It is due to the 2 prior convictions within the last 5 years.
And keep in mind again, the 2 prior convictions were whittled way down. You guys, one of those convictions, she admitted to stealing $100,000 in clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people thinking, you know, someone goes out, shoplifts twice, and now you're charged with a felony because they're lowering the hammer. This hammer has been lowered and lowered again and then lowered and then lowered and lowered, but it's a teeny tiny hammer. And we're going to sort of lower it and then maybe kind of lower it and then think about lowering it. Like it just never ends.
So what do you do with her?
Scott?
You don't put her in prison for the rest of her life.
I don't, the answer is I don't know. I don't know. You can't force someone. She has to serve some time.
I don't disagree with that.
You would agree with that?
Yes.
She has before, though.
Yes, she has.
Yeah. Yes, she has. I mean, this has to stop. But there is a number of layers on this onion that you have to peel back. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to see where. Here we are. This is from Channel 9 back. An affluent Overland Park, Kansas woman accused of shoplifting has been sentenced to more than a year in prison. She got 19 months in prison and was ordered to pay $22,000 in restitution for stealing, in this case, it was bras from a Kohl's store. She liked Kohl's. Remember that?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
She liked clothing.
She got 19 months in prison back in 2017.
She got what?
19 months in prison in 2017. But I don't know. I don't know that she ever served any time. We would have to look that up.
I think she did. And we're late to the break, but we'll look it up here during the break. Sam Stephen III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ.
My goodness, you guys. During the break, we were just looking back at some of these cases. And here's what's interesting. She was sentenced in 2017 to 1 year and 7 months. She was then sentenced again in 2022. I can't even find that sentencing. Okay. But Sam pulled the court records from the most recent charges.
There two separate are two cases.
By the way, we're talking about Kelly Jo Bauer, who is a rather wealthy woman, we believe, or at least a woman of some means, who for whatever reason keeps getting popped for shoplifting.
So the first two date back to 2024. Now, keep in mind, she was sentenced in 2022 again.
And this is from...
And there are cases in 2007, 2012, 2015, 2018.
Yeah.
One was... Victoria's Secret in 2024, and one was Bath and Body Works. That's got to be Town Center. They're right next door to each other. Okay. Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works at Town Center. Okay, it's 2024. When you move to 2025, I'm going to read the first paragraph and then just the dates with floor and decor. Count one, that on or about the fifth day of June in the county of Johnson, she did then and there unlawfully and feloniously obtain or exert unauthorized control over property from floor and decor. Fifth day of June. Okay.
Okay.
Followed by this. Then on or about the 14th day of June, she did there unlawfully and feloniously obtain or exert unauthorized control over property at floor and decor. Number two. Then on the 19th day of June, she did then and there unlawfully and feloniously obtain or exert unauthorized control over floor and decor. Then on the 10th day of July, floor and decor.
Okay.
Count five. Then on the 12th day of July, floor and decor. Then on the 16th day of August, floor and decor. Then on the 17th day of August.
Took a whole month off.
Floor and decor. And on or about the 27th day of August, that's when they popped her at the store, floor and decor. And she did not take a month off. The first three are in June, followed by three in July, followed by three in August. And I've got some swampland to sell you in Alaska think the only time she did it were these eight.
Stand by. I've only got two in July. That's what I meant when I said took a month off. She didn't go back from July 12th until August 16th.
My God.
Dana, what does that tell you? Look at these dates. Look at these dates.
Now, keep in mind.
The 5th, 14th, and 19th of June.
Mm-hmm.
The 10th, 12th, 16th, and 7th.
No. July 10th and 12th.
The 12th in July.
August 16th, 17th, 27th.
16th, back-to-back days, and then the 27th in August.
These are the eight times that she went in, allegedly, grabbed something, and tried to leave without paying for it, and they noticed it and went back and took note, wrote it down, you know, took her picture from surveillance. Who knows how many other times this may have happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there have been arrests at Shields.
Victoria's Secret.
Kohl's. It just goes on.
Well,
correct
me if I'm wrong. I'm just going off memory here. Was there not an arrest at her home?
Yes.
Where they found
They brought in vans.
Yeah.
And vans.
I mean, looking at these dates, okay, because I'm sure Floor and Decor is a very large box store.
Okay. It is big.
All right. So, you know, the same person may not recognize her coming in on the 16th of August and then the 17th of August. But this tells me, based on these dates that I wrote down that you read off, this is a woman who is, in my opinion, or allegedly, dying to get caught.
In 2024, she's accused of going next door, both on the same day. Victoria's Secret on the 5th and Bath and Body Works on the 5th. You're right. In this last case, It is again and again and again.
To the same store.
To the same.
Why?
To the same, dare I say, that place is not crawling with people like a Walmart either.
Right.
That is a very niche place that you go in when you're trying to retile a bathroom. Like, it was just, I don't want to say it was empty, but like multiple people said, can I help you?
Well, it's kind of like what I would imagine the tile shop over here on Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a niche business. They make a lot of money off of one customer, so they don't need this constant foot traffic through the door like a Walmart does, which makes pennies on the dollar because they're selling relatively cheap Chinese materials. This is, if you're going into the tile shop or floor and decor, you're going in there to spend at the very least hundreds of dollars and more likely than not thousands of dollars.
Correct.
So, you know, one customer an hour, we're good to go.
From the text line, does she have a bathroom with a bunch of mixed-matched tile in it now?
I don't know how. I almost agree with you, Scott, on the you're dying to get caught at that point. Because it's such an odd store to target for something like this.
So we were also told, if I remember correctly, that she was arrested, allegedly, in the act of shoplifting.
Yes.
Which means that day, the 27th, the manager was like,
she's back.
You again? So, and then called the cops.
I mean, she went to the same store 8 times in 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not remember, Scott, when she was heading to sentencing for one of the cases where they went into her home and found all this stuff?
Yeah.
She was arrested in a new theft case the day
after.
Before,
that's right.
Sentencing. Like, she faces a judge on Friday. On Thursday, they popped again. Her again.
So here, and I'm just spitballing here. I don't know. I've never, and I don't think this is an addiction. Somebody on the text line says, this sounds like an addiction. It's a compulsion. And here's what I mean by that. And I'm not going to use her as the example. I'm just going to speak
generally.
My guess is that somebody who has this compulsion for shoplifting knows very well, I could go to Target today, right, and get my fix, if you will. I could go to the Walmart down on Shawnee Mission Parkway and get my fix tomorrow. Then I can go to the Walmart in Liberty and get my fix on Friday of this week or Saturday. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time. Here's the problem. That's too easy for them. The real dopamine release is, can I keep doing it at the same place in front of the same people and not get caught?
You think?
I think there's a challenge there. It's a chase, you know? The thrill.
Okay, but at what point, and I'm not saying you throw someone in prison for stealing 8 times in a handful of weeks from Floor and Decor, although they might disagree at Floor and Decor. Excellent service, by the way, we went. I will say that at some point there has to be consequences for the same repeated action. Anyone who's been arrested and alcohol is involved or drugs are involved, like, you know, yes, it's an addiction and yes, we want you to get treatment and yes, we want you to get help, but we do live in a system of rules. There has to be consequences, right?
I would absolutely agree with you on
that.
So
what does that look like?
So for example, if somebody gets popped drinking and driving, okay? And they know they're an alcoholic. And they go and get treatment, and they come out the other side a better person, and they never drink and drive again. Good on them. But if you are popped for a DUI, and you know you're an alcoholic or a problem drinker or whatever, and you keep doing it over and over and over again, there has to be repercussions, consequences that come with repeated bad behavior.
Okay, just what does that look like?
Last
time I think they told her, you're never allowed to go to Kohl's again. Like, do not come back to Kohl's.
Well,
okay.
Maybe they should say you can't go inside any store ever again.
You're an Instacarter now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, here's the deal. I think the thrill is not in the kill. It's in the chase. Let me rephrase. I would bet people with this compulsion love the chase. They can't get enough of the chase. It's not getting out of the store with the goods and getting in your car and going home with it. It's getting out of the store. The chase.
Or she wouldn't have kept going back.
Yeah. To the exact same place By the way, in one instance, in back-to-back days, come on. How much tile do you need?
Not that much.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the U.S. Army is changing its policies on how soldiers can look. Mostly this is for the men. It involves the regular Army, the Army National Guard, U.S. Army Reserve. Although there are a few updated policies.
Like tattoo things or what are we talking about?
Normally not. This is for the women. They have three new updated appearance policies for women.
Okay.
Eyelash extensions or wearing false eyelashes, that's a no-go.
I would agree with that. I understand that.
This one would keep you out of the military.
I have tattooed eyebrows?
Tattooed makeup.
How are they going to know?
Try to wash it off.
Well, but you can't tell that they've relined my eyebrows.
Dana, I'm not with the Pentagon. I read news.
Okay.
That's what I do.
That seems really broad.
Women
okay.
are no longer allowed to wear lipstick.
Okay.
So that's out.
I think tattooed makeup is the more obvious tattooed makeup.
Yeah, the ones with the dark black cat eye.
Dye our lips cherry red.
Okay.
Men are no longer allowed to wear the following in the U.S. Army. Braids, twists, locks, or cornrows. All out.
Okay.
Shaping or cutting your hair into a design. Like Charlie Sheen's character in Major League with the wedges in the back.
Okay.
No nail polish for men. No cosmetics at all.
Okay.
And no earrings.
No earrings for men.
That is correct. Women are still able to wear makeup, but it must be applied conservatively to achieve an even skin tone. Nail polish has to be clear, and earrings can only be studs.
Oh, okay.
Women are allowed to wear hair braids, but they must follow and cornrows, but they must follow certain guidelines to do so.
Okay. I think if you're going into the military, you understand that there are much more restrictive policies than, say, if you're going to work at Starbucks.
Oh, you literally sign your rights away.
Yeah, you know that going in.
Yes. You know, people...
You will comply.
That's right, Sam. I've said that quite a bit over the years, having... I don't know if you knew this, I grew up in the military.
What? No way. But did you live in another country for it?
Maybe.
Okay.
For a time, yes. And you do, when you join the military, you do sign away certain rights while you're in the military. Now, once you get out, you're on your own.
You do what you want.
But every time I've said that, people have argued with me on the text line. Do you know, and I don't know if you know this, but I grew up on a lot of military bases too. I never once saw a political yard sign. Let me rephrase. I never saw a yard sign, political
Period.
Or otherwise, in anybody's yard. You can have a political opinion, you just don't get to share it publicly.
Yard signs draw attention, and in the military, let's not draw attention.
Right. And so, you know, I have very little doubt my dad voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980 and 1984. I say I have little doubt because I don't know for sure. Because the one thing my dad never did was talk about politics, at least with me.
He and I would have gotten along so well.
You would have loved him. He was a great man.
We have some breaking news. When we get back... The Kansas City firefighter involved in that fatal Westport crash. The arbitration in that case is over. The ruling is in. He has won his right to have his job back. And that is not all. this ruling is going to tick a lot of people off.
Is it back pay?
I thought we already had this ruling.
Sam, this is an updated ruling as of 4:34 this afternoon, and we will share that with you when Dana and Parks returns.
Hey, don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to kmbz.com. Sam does a great job of getting every hour up as soon as we conclude that hour. Dan's got the news coming up in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ, we will see you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.